Welcome to the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z. You ever just have one of those days where you try to get something done and you get interrupted over and over and over and over and over again? Welcome to Tuesday, November 1st, 2022, and the ninth attempt to get a version of the Truth Hurts program in the can. Hi, everybody. Steve Z, your host for the Truth Hurts program, the podcast that exposes the lies of the left, the Democratic Party double standard in media reporting, the failure of the Biden administration without apology, because this guy has screwed up this country so badly, there is no excuse. Washington Examiner says it's a lie, it's an illusion. Immigrants slam Biden's immigration reform efforts. Heather Hamilton writes, immigrants called President Joe Biden's immigration reform efforts a lie and an illusion, saying his administration's efforts have not addressed root causes. You might recall they sent Camel Toe Harris, the embarrassment as a vice president, down to certain countries south of our border to address the root causes of immigration failures in the United States. What Camel Toe Harris should have done was gone to the southern border with Mexico, looked out at the wide open spaces and said, hey, we need to put a wall up here, or a fence, or a barrier, or a barricade, or a blockade. Or do what Steve Z said all along and put United States military forces standing 5 feet apart, armed with live ammunition at the southern border, and dare people to trespass and invade our nation. Can you imagine if an army, like let's say the Venezuelan army, came up with tanks and guns and Humvees and all the other military accoutrement and tried to attempt to get into our country by invasion? Well, 20 years ago, our military would have kicked their ass and sent them back where they came from. But nowadays, you know, transgenders and feelings and how many bathrooms should we have in a barracks is much more important than defending the United States against all invaders, all enemies, both foreign and domestic. Nowadays, with Joe Biden at the helm, we'd probably wash and wax those Venezuelan military vehicles and welcome those guys in, surrender, hand over our evil guns, and just let them march right on in and take over the country. In March of 2021, gropey Joe Biden directed Vice President Camel Toe Harris to develop a diplomatic solution to the illegal migrant surge at the U.S.-Mexico border, with many of those people invading our country from Venezuela and Colombia. The Biden-Harris administration then announced plans to, quote, address the root causes of immigration from Central America. They did that in July with a focus on corruption, economy, and security concerns. The Biden administration's plan stated, and I quote, we cannot solve the challenge at our border without addressing the lack of economic opportunity, weak governance and corruption, and violence and insecurity that compel people to flee their homes in the first place, unquote. Hey, Biden, you have caused violence, corruption, economic lack of opportunity, insecurity, and all of those other things here in the United States of America with our own citizens. Immigrants apprehended along the Guatemalan-Honduran border told the Daily Caller that little, if anything, has been done, and that they have no other option but to leave their homeland and cross two, three, four countries to come and invade the United States of America. Well, that sounds to me like a BS excuse. One immigrant said,
in reality, everything is political, and politics don't solve anything. Everything is a smoke bomb. It's a lie. It's an illusion. In Venezuela right now, what we need is help. Help we will not get. And what we're doing right now, we're not doing it because we want to. We're not doing it out of fun. We are doing because we need to do it.
Another immigrant from Colombia added that his country is only getting worse. That's not my problem. That's not Joe Biden's problem. If you have a problem in your own country, then find a way to change things in your own damn country. Don't come to the United States of America with your poverty and your problems and your political baggage and expect me to pay for it. When Guatemalan President Alejandro Giammattei was asked for his assessment of Harris's work in addressing migrant reform, he declined to answer. But he did say with a chuckle, quote,
"I think it's a good question for her, not for me,"
unquote. He added that he's not surprised that immigrants say the Biden administration's reform efforts have failed. But the Biden administration recently announced a new record high, 2.4 million illegal, criminal, law-breaking, trespassing, invading migrants were caught in the United States during fiscal year 2022. Border control? Border crisis? It's all Joe Biden's fault. It's all Joe Biden's problem. But he wants to blame everyone but Joe Biden for his problems. This is the Truth Hurts program. And what edition of the Truth Hurts program would be complete without someone playing the race card? The little peanut-headed African-American Stephen A. Smith is now complaining of a racial pay gap despite his $12 million a year salary. ESPN broadcaster Stephen A. Smith declared that he is underpaid and that he receives $12 million a year, and that is well below his white colleagues. Playing the race card, Stephen A. Smith, who I don't find that impressive, says, quote, "We are still black in this country." We're still black in this country? Well, yes, you are still black, Stephen A. Smith. Right before Game 1 of the World Series, in which no American-born black players will feature for the first time since 1950. Oh, that's because of all the illegal immigrants, right? The Hispanics? Story for another time. He said, quote, "We don't trust this country in terms of meritocracy always. We know the bottom line, that is, just like all women are underpaid compared to male counterparts, blacks are underpaid compared to white counterparts." Stephen A. Smith obviously has not looked at the salaries of NFL players. He obviously hasn't looked at the salary of basketball players or baseball players. The black folks are getting paid, Stephen A. Smith. You are a joke. Now, Smith rakes in about $8 million in salary each year and a $4 million per production contract. But he insists that the reason he's underpaid is because he's black. Let me give you the news, Stephen A. Smith. Maybe the reason you're underpaid is because you're not as good as some of your counterparts who happen to be white. Maybe you don't get the ratings that your white counterparts get because perhaps people don't like you very much. And now that you're playing the race card, you have proven that no matter how well you speak, how educated you might be, you are still just a pandering minority holding your hand out, axing the man to give you some mo. He said, quote, "I'm not talking about me, even though I got news for you. I am underpaid compared to some people on television what they get paid. But that's a subject for another day. I ain't apologizing for that to a damn soul. I am underpaid. Having said all of that, it ain't about me." Well, Smith's salary is far, far greater, my friends, than Max Kellerman, the former First Take co-host. That guy only made $1 million a year instead of eight. Smith is one of the highest paid broadcasters in sports, period. Quit playing the race card, son. Ain't nobody paying attention to you. This is the Truth Hurts program. If you're watching politics at all, and I know many of you are now with 1 week left to go before the midterms. By the way, if you've had the opportunity to early vote and have not taken advantage of it, I urge you to go ahead and do so. Something might come up election day and keep you from the polls, and you might not be able to participate in the great red wave to come. Pennsylvania Democrat Senate candidate John Fetterman will not commit to having his doctor brief the press on his medical records ahead of the upcoming midterm election. He said so in a recent interview that saw him stumbling over his words just about as badly as gropey Joe Biden. Failed, but they keep him around because he's black and he's gay and he likes to whine and piss and bitch and moan and complain. Don Limon, the CNN This Morning co-hosts, announced that his interview with Fetterman would be conducted with the use of closed captioning technology, a visual aid that Fetterman has to use because he can't understand when someone asks him a question and able to form an answer. He has to be able to read it on closed captioning. And then, and the poor guy, he looks really, really bad. It's a shame what Democrats do to their candidates. Anyway, Limon, Don Lemon, said, "Listen, we heard a little from your doctor, but we haven't heard a lot. You're asking whether voters to trust you on your word that your health is good without the full story. So in the interest of full transparency for the voters, do you think it would help if you let your doctors brief the press before election night?" Fetterman replied that he feels his campaign has been pretty transparent and that his doctors have made clear that he's able and fit to serve in the U.S. Senate. Fetterman said, "For my point, we've been also, you know, very transparent in terms of showing up at debate, very transparent about, you know, having events in front of thousands and thousands of Pennsylvanians for months." That's an out-and-out lie. He hasn't appeared before thousands of anybody in months. He said, "And I was, again, it was no secret that I missed some words. I was going to mush some words together. And we've been very clear in the debate during this interview. I've been using captioning as well." True. What? I'm just reading it as it was written, folks. Don Lemon said the reason he keeps asking Fetterman's doctors to release information about medical records is because voters may be asking if there's a reason he has not disclosed them thus far. And of course, Fetterman said, "No, I just believe that we have our doctors weigh in on that and they believe I'm fit to serve. And that's a point that was compatible, made in June and compatible here just in October. And, you know, I chose, you know, my real doctors composed some of the criticisms from, like, you know, like a real Dr. Oz that's just trying to weaponize, you know, somebody I just made had a stroke." Listen, this guy's not fit. No offense. Man, look, you had a stroke. It almost killed you, Mr. Fetterman. It's time for you to relax, sit back, and not have all that stress on you. I know you realize what the Democrats are going to do, right? They're going to try and get you elected, and then they're going to toss you out like yesterday's garbage, like the fish drippings. And they're going to replace you. They're going to have you step down for medical reasons. Then they're going to appoint someone to take your place. And that person will get to serve for the full remainder of your term. It's like a de facto freebie for the Democrats. Later in the interview, Fetterman was asked about his flip-flop on fracking. Remember, he's fully against utilizing the resources that God has blessed the United States of America with. He was fully against fracking. And now suddenly, when half of Pennsylvania or more told him, "Dude, that's my son's job, that's my brother's job, that's my husband's job, that's my job," he flip-flopped and changed his mind. Pressed on the issue of how to square from his previous comments against fracking with his current pro-fracking position, Fetterman said during last week's debate, quote, "I do support fracking and I don't. I support fracking and I stand and I do support fracking." Wow, this guy's going to be a U.S. senator if he's elected. You Pennsylvanians must be so very proud. Noting that Fetterman had previously said in 2018 that he does not and has not ever supported fracking, Don Lemon asked, quote, "to be clear," unquote, whether Mr. Fetterman supports fracking. Fetterman said his past reservations about fracking were related to environmental concerns, but he said he now believes fracking is a no-brainer. From someone whose brain just stroked out on him, that's kind of a big statement, Mr. Fetterman. He says strong environmental regulations were passed in Pennsylvania in recent years, and he says energy independence is critical. Wow. They will lie straight to the camera just to get a vote. So Lemon once again pressed Fetterman on his position, noting environmental protections on frackings have been in place since 2016, but that Fetterman did not support fracking as recently as the end of 2018. Fetterman claimed he supported fracking in Braddock, Pennsylvania in the year 2017. He reiterated his claim that he now supports fracking, as he says, because of new environmental protections and that he has never taken money from the fracking industry. He says he wants fracking now. And he's only saying that because he knows being against fracking in an oil-rich state such as Pennsylvania might be dangerous to his candidacy. He also stumbled over questions about what the Biden administration could possibly do to address Joe Biden-caused inflation, and he said, quote, I think that simply is also, let's talk about trillions in massive tax cuts to the corporate tax structure as well true, unquote. Another non-sentence sentence from a guy who had a stroke. And listen, I feel really bad for you, buddy. I know people who have had major, massive strokes like yours. No offense. You need to relax. You don't need the pressures of being a United States Senator. You should bow out while you still have brain cells working. And that, my friends, is the truth. And for you, Mr. Fetterman, unfortunately, the truth hurts. You remember Hillary Rotten Clinton? The crybaby woman who spent an entire 4 years denying the legitimacy of Donald Trump's presidency and now has the audacity to tell us that anyone who denies the legitimacy of Joe Biden's questionable presidency is wrong? She's a lawyer. Shall I say anything more? Need I say anything more? She's a lawyer. She is paid to lie. And now she's demanding $1 million in legal fees after the Russiagate lawsuit was tossed out. Ryan King writes in the Washington Examiner, Hillary Rotten Clinton is joining other defendants in petitioning a court to compel her 2016 nemesis, former winner, President Donald Trump, to cough up a little over $1 million in legal fees for a rejected lawsuit against them. Decrying Donald Trump's sprawling racketeering lawsuit that claimed Clinton and others peddled false allegations that his campaign colluded with Russia as a political stunt, Clinton and the other defendants say they deserve reimbursement from Trump for legal fees. And these people are just ridiculous, aren't they? In March, Trump filed a lawsuit against Hillary Rotten Clinton and a bunch of other Democrats and their allies. Christopher Steele, a former British spy who compiled the now discredited, proven false Trump-Russia dossier, was listed among the defendants. Trump says he suffered $24 million in losses from the innuendo about possible collusion between him and Russia. But U.S. District Judge Donald Middlebrooks in Florida concluded that his suit was marred with glaring deficiencies in the plaintiff's argument, and he simply dismissed the case. Of course, that ruling is being appealed right now by the Trump people. Middlebrooks was appointed by former President Bill Scheming Stain on the Blue Dress Clinton. Yes, Bill Clinton, the cigar-wielding president. And that judge condemned Trump's suit as a 200-page political manifesto outlining grievances against those who oppose him, and the court is not an appropriate forum. Really? What is the court an appropriate forum for, Judge Middlebrooks? The Clinton-backed motion cited comments made by a Trump lawyer named Alina Haba on Newsmax earlier this year about the argument that the suit was intended to further political goals rather than legitimate legal gripes. Alina Haba stated to Newsmax, quote, what the real goal of the suit is democracy, is continuing to make sure that our elections, continue to make sure our justice system is not obstructed by political enemies. That cannot happen, and that's exactly what happened. They obstructed justice. They continued the false narrative. Clinton's costs rang in at about $176,412, but $1.06 million is the total amount being claimed in this lawsuit. Anyway, folks, they'll do anything to keep Donald Trump's name in the news in a negative light so that hopefully they can continue to smear him and smear him and smear him. Oh, well, it is what it is. This is the Truth Hurts program. And because I don't want to sit here and read articles to you, you're capable of reading if you're capable of understanding even the basic premise of this program. There's an article by Brian Flood, David Rutz, and Joseph Wolfson at Fox News. And before I go into this, I just want to say, why the hell does it take three reporters to write one story? Whether it's CNN or Fox or ABC or CBS, why? Why can't one person write a damn story? Why does it take three of you? Washington Post media critic Eric Wemple made an astonishing admission last week. He was afraid to combat the liberal media narrative in 2020 that New York Times aired in publishing Tom Cotton's op-ed on military force to quell violent uprisings in American cities. Now, for the Washington Post to admit they did something wrong is very rare. Liberal Times staffers erupted over Cotton's op-ed in 2020, a coordinated social media display, and an editorial page editor James Bennett was forced to resign for running it after the Times higher-ups folded to internal pressure. Bennett recently said the Times leadership hung him out to dry and his colleagues treat him like an incompetent fascist. He revisited the incident nearly 2.5 years later, expressing regret that he didn't back up Mr. Bennett at the time, as many conservatives did. The Eric Wemple blog has asked about 30 New York Times staffers whether they still believe their danger tweets and whether there was any merit in Bennett's retort. Not one of them replied with an on-the-record defense. That's the depth of conviction behind a central argument in the Cotton affair. The bottom line, folks, over and over and over again, let's talk about the Biden laptop story. All the liberal media claimed it was bullshit. It was fake. It was obviously a Russian operation. In fact, MSNBC contributor Jason Johnson said it was, quote, so obviously a Russian operation. And CNN's Brian Stetler hypothesized that emails could be made up and the story was simply right-wing media machine in action. Hell, Leslie Stahl in 60 Minutes told Trump in 2020 that the laptop couldn't be verified, even though it had been verified months before. This is what the democratically controlled mainstream leftist media has done to you, my fellow Americans. They're not doing anything for you. They're doing this to you. They are shaping your thought processes. They're bending your mind by repeating lies over and over and over and over and over again, hoping that you will sit there and say, well, I heard it on 15 different news outlets, so it must be true. Then, after they got busted, knowing that the Hunter Biden laptop was legitimately a thing, they started running fake headlines like, Federal Investigation of Hunter Biden Heats Up. They did that on March 30th. Here we are in November. Have you heard anything officially about Hunter Biden's laptop? Federal Investigation Heats Up My Ass. Just like when Joe Biden was the vice president, he went to the president of Ukraine and said, if you don't fire the guy that's investigating my son Hunter, I'm going to withhold $1 billion of United States taxpayer aid to your country. Didn't hear anything about that, though, did we, on the mainstream leftist, liberal, progressive, woke media? Where was the media to call out Joe Biden for, I'm going to shut down the Wuhan, China novel coronavirus, not the economy? As our nation's interest rates have risen, inflation rates have gone through the roof, as our GDP dropped for 2.5 consecutive quarters, as our invasion at the southern border continued, and the Wuhan, China virus rages on. Hell, out of the same breath, he talks about shutting down the virus and then telling people they have to go and get yet another booster. Newsflash, Mr. Biden. The unvaccinated are not dying of COVID like you lied about and threatened to told everybody they were going to die. The unvaccinated are not dying at any greater rate than the vaccinated, Mr. Biden, or the vaccinated and boosted once, twice, three, four, five times boosted. It was taboo during Biden's early days to suggest that his buddies in China and his buddy Dr. Fauci had anything at all to do with the creation of the Wuhan, China novel coronavirus? Remember? Those news outlets were bashing people like Senator Cotton, Donald Trump, and others who repeat what they called, quote, a fringe conspiracy theory of the coronavirus origins. And then they called you racist when you called it the China flu. Let's fast forward to 2021 when Biden administration acknowledged the validity of the lab leak theory. And then suddenly their friends in the Democrat media on page 9, of course, way in the back at the bottom under an undergarment sale ad said, well, there may be some truth. The fact checkers at the Washington Compost even ran a piece declaring how the theory suddenly became credible after Joe Biden and Dr. Fauci lent some credibility to it. You might recall much of the Trump presidency was plagued by the Russia investigation and the false narrative that his campaign colluded with the Kremlin to steal the election from Hillary Clinton. The Steele dossier turned out to be as fake as I told you it was the day it was released. I said it here on the Truth Hurts program. It was funded by the Clinton campaign and the DNC, and the 35-page so-called intelligence report by the British ex-spy was later revealed to be heavily tainted by partisan actors, and it was discredited entirely in subsequent investigations. Do you hear anything about that on the mainstream leftist, progressive, liberal, woke media? Of course not. How about the story, boys in Make America Great Again hats mob a Native American elder at the Indigenous People's March? And later, they found out that it wasn't. It was just a young Catholic school kid telling a Native American elder how much he respected the Native American people. The media botched that one just like they botched Jussie Smollett, the queer black guy who claimed he was attacked by Trump MAGA supporters. Just like, what's his name, Bubba Wallace claimed there was a noose hanging in a garage as an act of racism. Just like the lie that somehow the criminal thug animal George Floyd was murdered by a cop. He died of a drug overdose and a heart attack. The actual medical scientific autopsy proved that. But yet, in America, about 80% of the people still think, because of the media lies, they think that a cop named Derek Chauvin murdered George Floyd. So much so that they found a tainted jury to go right ahead and agree with that. You recall Governor Cuomo, I didn't screw any of those women. I didn't touch any of those women. He did. My friends, please wake up and understand that the lies of the left and the Democratic Party, the liberal, mainstream, leftist, progressive, woke media, their counterparts and cohorts in crime, are twisting your mind to believe things that are not true. Election day is 1 week from today. Even if you have voted already, go to the polls and watch for irregularities. Pull out your video cam phone and take pictures and video of things that don't appear kosher. If there's not a red wave, something is out of place in our election system. This is the Truth Hurts program. Thanks for listening, everyone. Opinions expressed are, of course, protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, while we still have such a thing. If you like what you hear, please tell a friend. If you don't like what you hear, just go listen to something else. I'm sure there's something to entertain your feeble mind. This program is pre-recorded at Studio 63 in Bayou Country. Copyright 2022, the Truth Hurts Program Network. All rights reserved. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye for now. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. I apologize if you were offended, but I retract nothing. Background music provided by Jason Shaw and Audionautix.